take a break before we get into number six, or do you want to plow on through?
Plow on through.
Okay. So, Mr. Miranda.
Oh, you make me start this one, huh?
I'm going to make you start.
Okay. Well, you know, we've talked about all the good things that we've done as a committee and as a bond oversight process. But this project labor agreement issue is kind of acted as a point of tension, and that would be, I guess, somewhat of an understatement between the board and the CBOC the last several months. And let me put in a nutshell what our committee's concerns were. Is we've made so much progress on these other issues, but the project labor agreement item, the way the process had put it on the agenda, left a lot of pause with the committee, in the sense of it was not really discussed with the committee beforehand at all, other than we knew there was a referral back in June. And it begged the question to us, what is the hurry? Why now? Why are you doing this? What do you hope to accomplish? What are the current problems that we solve with the project labor agreement? And so we had a special meeting that said, you know, district, even though you haven't, quote, started negotiations, it seemed to the committee that there had been a policy decision made that this was the right thing to do without much vetting. And that was our committee's concern. We basically called for an moratorium or a timeout for 4 months to really study what are the current problems, what are the issues that could be dealt with in a project labor agreement as opposed to some other way of procurement or cost effectiveness. And we wanted to hear as a committee what the board's thinking was when we got together here, of why a project labor agreement is the right thing to do entering negotiations with now, and why you wouldn't want to step back and take a look at apprenticeship training problems, hiring out-of-town labor, whatever the problems that would allegedly be solved with a project labor agreement. So that's kind of our committee's perspective on that, I think.
Thank you for setting the stage, and just like our staff presentation, we're going to have public, and then we'll...
Okay.
Only because they're speakers.
Okay.
So we need to hear them. Madam Clerk.
Kathleen Shears. I have followed the direction of the agenda and wrote a speech that I thought covered everything I asked for involvement.
Sure.
The community has a BOC they trust. This committee has worked hard educating themselves and harder at working for the community and offering to be part of the solution and restoring quality, fiscal responsibility, and integrity to the bond program, a program that remains broken 1 year after you took office. The board appears reluctant to seek out the opinions of our BOC on important issues like the PI. Board member comments that the BOC has no power has been heard. As respectfully as I need to clearly state this opinion, this community trusts this BOC. Regardless of the power we are constantly reminded they don't have, if push comes to shove, it is what this group would stand. Your answer to the problems in facilities and mismanagement of proper dollars, PLA. Unions have donated to the majority of your campaigns. While all of you may believe in unions, as you are currently or have been members, including you, Mr. Pike, respectfully I remind you, your vote should reflect what is in the taxpayers' best interest versus your personal allegiances. This board has failed to share your personal research data on the benefits of the PLA. Ms. Hall, you made mention of contacting San Diego City Schools. We do not equate that to individual research. I sent out an email to my list of contacts notifying them of this meeting. One group of parents sent the following back. please tell the board this. We recommend that the board turn proper decisions over to the BOC, as we trust the BOC would have corrected many PROPO facilities and maintenance issues by last summer's end. We, the bill payers, accept we do not have any power in the PLA vote, the key now transparency and reporting. Please know, I judge you not based on your votes, but on what I would be doing if I sat in any of your chairs. Voters have the right to know the backstory on all of your decisions, and trust the backstory is based on personally researched data you are willing to share, especially what involves a 30% increase on bond costs. Our personal research has found. In closing, it is imperative that the board as a whole be seen as an entity that welcomes, not resents, input from all entities, including the highly valued BOC. Failure to do so will inhibit its ability to be trusted by the community and result in a weaker, fractured Sweetwater. When you know better, you do better. Hopefully 2016 will bring a stronger Sweetwater BOC working relationship and a reorganized facilities maintenance department. This department has for years failed our students and the community. A year without reform is a very long time in the eyes of the voters. The community voting for a statewide construction tax for schools is dead on arrival. This is an oversight committee, not a hindsight committee. I would ask that you follow the lead of Dr. Janney, who has come into this district. Work with people who undermined her in her last tenure, and yet is able to bring everyone together, not discounting anybody's voice, not telling them, I don't have to listen to you. Mr. Guerrero was right. We believed our new board, all of you that we fought for, would work with the BOC. Ms. Hall, it is very difficult for members of the community. Four of us from four different areas to hear your comments. It was akin to having someone attempt to put the BOC in their place.
Thank you. Patty Dollar.